Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Julian Zelizer, who's a professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. He's a regular contributor to CNN.com and Politico, and has written for The New York Times and Washington Post. And his most recent books include Jimmy Carter, Arsenal of Democracy, The Presidency of George W. Bush, and his latest, Governing America, The Revival of Political History. He has an article at CNN, Obama May Hate the Midterm Results. Welcome to Background Briefing, Julian Zelizer.
Thanks for having me.
And the president, of course, is obviously nervous. He's facing a midterm election coming up where most presidents fare poorly, particularly in their second term. He has even signaled that he's worried about this by recently calling the Democrats lazy. What can he do?
Well, the president is someone who's very cognizant of history, and he has been studying second-term presidencies since the minute he won re-election in 2012. And he realizes that these midterms don't go well for Democrats. There's really few exceptions. The only one recently has been Bill Clinton in 1998. Other than that, the party of the president loses seats or loses control of Congress. So, he's trying to fight the trend as much as possible. His biggest objective is to try to rally Democrats, to try to rally loyal Democrats to come up and to counteract the very motivated conservative core of voters who's determined to regain control of the Senate and regain control of Congress in the process.
But that's the core of voters that do show up in midterms. They did in 2010, and obviously they'll be spending more money than they spent in 2010 and probably be better organized, the Republicans, and maybe they've learned from their last defeat, particularly in Ohio, they'll have a better ground game. So how is the president then going to counteract this? Because it all comes down to turnout, and in presidential elections there's a huge turnout. In midterms, the turnout drops precipitously. Is it therefore up to the president to inspire voters to come out?
Well, it's difficult. What the president has been able to do in presidential elections is to inspire voters who usually don't participate or who are lukewarm in their interest in politics to come out and to support him. That's been one of his greatest accomplishments, both in 2008 and 2012. And certainly in his first election, he was able to mobilize loyal Democrats by focusing on the person who had been in power, George W. Bush. It's much trickier. In midterm elections, not as many people vote, and the people who do come out tend to be the loyal voters, the most active part of the electorate. And unfortunately for President Obama, he doesn't have the best relationship with that part of the Democratic Party. While conservatives are very energized to continue to cause problems for the president. So I think he's facing a very difficult electoral environment.
So, Julian Zelizer, what did Bill Clinton do then to reverse this trend?
Well, part of it wasn't really Bill Clinton. Part of it was a Republican Party that so badly overplayed its hand. This was in the middle of the impeachment. And not only were the Republicans moving forward with an impeachment of the president for the relationship with Monica Lewinsky and lying about it, but also they blitzed the airwaves with ads about this kind of issue. And it caused a backlash in the electorate that thought Republicans were really going way too far on this issue, and they were far off the center. And even many Republicans were unhappy with this. So I think in that case, you had a Republican Party that was actively sabotaging itself in a way where I'm not sure that's the case. Even though Republicans are unpopular right now, it's not quite 1998. And one final thing is then you had Newt Gingrich as a symbolic head of the party, and it made it easy for Democrats to warn about what was going to happen with continued Republican control, whereas today I think Speaker Boehner's not quite the same kind of figure.
Well, of course, there was a certain amount of optimism back after the shutdown of the government and the threatening of to tank the economy on the part of the Tea Party caucus of the Republicans in the House. And, of course, there was a lot of discussion then that, oh, we're going to do really well in the midterms, so we're going to run on that issue. And then the botched launch of Obamacare's website seemed to swing the pendulum back. Do we have any figures on that? Do we really know where it stands, or are people's memories simply that short?
Well, the polls right now that have been coming out in the past few weeks don't favor the Democrats. Republicans are not popular. People don't trust them as much as the Democrats on specific issues. But the Democratic polls, especially in contested states, are not great. And what the polls are showing is, that the movement is in favor of the Republicans, including regaining the Senate. So, was it the botched rollout of health care that overwhelmed negative images of what the Republicans had done? Perhaps, but it can also just be this broader historical trend that we've seen where, the party in power just suffers for all the problems and controversies that surround a president.
So in your article at CNN, Jillian Zelizer, again, Jillian Zelizer, professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University, and a regular contributor to CNN and Politico, and the author of Governing America, The Revival of Political History. We're talking about his article at CNN, Obama May Hate the Midterm Results. When you give these historical examples, starting with Woodrow Wilson, and then, of course, the 1938 backlash against FDR, just 2 years following the 1936 landslide victory, and then the 58 Eisenhower, a popular president, losing the Senate and the House, and then in 86, another popular president, Ronald Reagan, losing the Senate and the House. So, again, the numbers are that there's not. My understanding is that just in terms of math and retirements, etc., the Republicans have an automatic advantage going into this November's elections, don't they, in the Senate?
Absolutely. They're going in with a structural advantage, and you combine that with the political issues that you've discussed, including the controversy over the health care. And those two factors just make this more of an uphill battle for the Democrats than the Republicans at this point.
But what do you know about the health care issue? Because the Republicans have gone incredibly silent on that. They were on a jihad from day one. They tried to stop it. They voted against it over 40 times to repeal it. They've all gone to the mat and incessantly. And now, all of a sudden, they've gone silent.
I think the polls on health care in particular are mixed. What we see is still there is a lot of discontent with the health care program broadly, and there are a lot of questions in the electorate about what's going to happen and how it will work, and some frustration with the delays that the administration has been putting forth. On the other hand, when people are polled on specific parts of the program, such as providing young people, with health care until they're 26, or I'm sure if you polled the millions of people who now have health care through the Medicaid expansion, you get more positive results. I think, what's happened is the issue has consumed so much political space that the administration and Democrats have had trouble pushing other parts of the record of this administration. And as you said, with the rollout, what it did do was help move the news away from the Republican tactics with the budget and the question of Republican obstruction, which was probably the most damaging thing the GOP faced. So even though the polls are mixed, I think Republicans are in a better position right now to take advantage of it than the Democrats are.
But it does seem from the historical records that you provided in your article at CNN, Jillian Zelizer, Obama May Hate the Midterm Results. Roosevelt got his thumping in 38 because he overreached with trying to stack the Supreme Court. And then, there's other examples, but the most recent one was George Bush in 2006 in his second term, midterm, suffering a thumping, as he called it. And he overreached by trying to privatize Social Security. What has Obama done, do you think, on that level of historical precedent?
He hasn't overreached. I think it's different. You're right in that FDR's whole story was about having this huge reelection and going for bolder programs especially with the packing of the Supreme Court. In other cases, it's been a question of a president trying to do too much, George W. Bush with privatizing Social Security. That's not been the story of President Obama. This is much more a story about a president struggling to implement his big idea. And it's been about an issue that isn't as sexy for most voters, administration, implementation, but it's turned into a huge political headache, and the opposition has been absolutely ruthless in moving forward with the issue. So I think we're in a very different situation than FDR faced on that in that regard.
So where is Obama's biggest problem? I mean, if he, as he recently indicated, that he's clearly signaling to the Democrats, I think he was signaling to mostly to the Congress and perhaps to the Senate, that they're too complacent. I think he used the word lazy, and they don't see this big express train running now coming down the tracks at them. And my understanding is that politicians are always thinking about their re-elections. Obviously, Obama's thinking, you know, I'm going to be a lame duck real soon if we lose the Senate. And so you'd think that out of self-preservation, the Democrats in the House and Senate would be more motivated. Is Obama right in suggesting that they're lazy and complacent?
I don't know. And I worry that in some respects, in looking and evaluating his leadership, it's a continued problem. He's had strained relations with Democrats from the start. He's often highly critical of what they do. Many congressional Democrats have criticized him and been frustrated with a president who they feel don't really respect the political risks they've taken and what they have worked on. And they wonder that this complaint doesn't necessarily reflect reality. I do think congressional Democrats very much would like to do better than they probably will. I think some Democrats are feeling pessimistic for all the big structural and historical reasons that have been discussed. Others think they're fighting very hard at this point, but they've been handed a very controversial policy, and they've been doing the best they can with that. And so they probably view this very different than the president, and those remarks in particular might only create more divisions within the Democratic Party rather than motivating Democrats to somehow run harder.
Well, Julian Salazar, early in the program we spoke with Senator Bernie Sanders, who is joining 28 Democrat senators, or along with one independent, Angus King of Maine. They're going to spend an all-nighter Monday night talking about raising awareness and warning about climate change. And arguably that is the more liberal wing of the party. But they're taking a stand, and presumably this could end up being an issue along with income inequality. So how is the president then going to motivate the Democratic left, who feel alienated by him? They think he's too much of a centrist. One of his nominees is now being attacked in Georgia by the left. So what kind of, you know, strategy can Obama employ to, you know, inspire people who have sort of, you know, lost faith in him?
Well, I think in some ways he might be most helpful as a foil, meaning, you know, over time he has consistently compromised on some big issues, such as climate change or even stronger financial regulation, always with the argument of this is what's possible in the current Congress and that he got the best he could. The cost of that was to continue alienating and angering key parts of the Democratic constituency who didn't agree with that assessment, felt he wasn't fighting the right fights or fighting hard enough. And the place this comes back to haunt you is in midterm elections. It's in congressional relations. Can he do much? Probably not. If he comes out and promises, you know, strong climate change legislation, I think a lot of Democratic activists will probably roll their eyes because they've heard that before and they haven't seen anything. So I think in some ways the argument has to come from Democratic leaders that if you want stronger legislation, if you want a president and a Congress that's going to deal with these issues, the real answer is to change Congress, not to continue to hope for a different White House or a president who will act differently. And I think that's how they can use him. This is what he didn't accomplish, and that's why we have to do that, and those are the votes we're looking for.
Well, Senator Sanders is toying with the idea of running for president because he feels that there's nobody in the Democratic Party, and particularly in what's likely to be the race in 2016 on the Democratic side, that Hillary Clinton will be sufficiently vocal and passionate about reviving the American middle class and rescuing working Americans and dealing with income inequality and climate change and the very issues that are being discussed all night, Monday night in the U.S. Senate. He's thinking maybe in terms of being up there in the debates like Dennis Kucinich was, that at least has the effect, even if you're not going to win and you don't have a snowball chance in hell, at least you do introduce to the American public in these forums, and clearly the Democrats will be running, you know, there'll be a lot of candidates perhaps in 2016, that at least he's going to force them to enter this debate. And I'm just wondering whether if an independent senator has to force the Democrats to be more like the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party, we're in trouble.
Well, you know, a lot of Democrats will obviously not be happy about that. They'll remember 2000. They'll remember Ralph Nader, who makes similar kinds of arguments. And many feel that that cost them the election and led to a much worse path for the nation. So he'll have to contend with that, and that memory is very strong still for many Democrats. But that traditionally is the argument of the maverick, of the third-party candidate, or the kind of independent member of a party who mounts a challenge, that it's not just about winning. It's about the message. It's about getting ideas in circulation that otherwise are going to be ignored. It's about forcing a party to deal with issues that they believe are politically impossible or politically unpopular. And that's the balance. You know, is that message more important than the potential risk that could come from a close race? And if he enters, that's a debate we're going to hear within the party, and he'll have to make a tough decision, as will his supporters.
Well, he did bring that up. He said, you know, I don't want to be a spoiler, obviously referring to Nader and in the Gore, Florida situation. He said, I don't want to help elect a right-wing Republican. You know, I guess he's saying, maybe I can't run as a third party for that reason, but maybe there's a way I can get into the Democratic debate. That's how I read it.
Yeah, that's what he is concerned about. And I think it's not simply critics who will say that about him, but he himself doesn't want to play that role. On the other hand, I think there is a part of him that knows this tradition of the independent who brings up issues that otherwise can disappear from a party's agenda. So that's a struggle, I think, in this day and age, especially after 2000.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us, Julian Zelizer.
Thank you very much.
Again, I've been speaking with Julian Zelizer, who's a professor of history and public affairs at Princeton University. He's a regular contributor to CNN.com and Politico and has written for The New York Times, The Washington Post, and his most recent books include Jimmy Carter, Arsenal of Democracy, The Presidency of George W. Bush, and the latest, Governing America, The Revival of Political History. He has an article at CNN, Obama May Hate the Midterm Results. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now. Time.